This episode is brought to you by Web Fiction World, also a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Before webcomics, there were web serials and weblit, independent and self-published web-released fiction and literature. Find out more by listening to Web Fiction World at webfictionworld.com with AM Hart and MCM.
News and commentary on the Webcomic Beacon newscast.
Welcome, one and all, to the Webcomic Beacon newscast. This is Welcome to the Webcast Beacon Network. This is the webcomic newscast for September 4th, 2011, episode number 34. I am your host, Ross Scott of The System. You can find my work, if you dare, at systemcomic.com. With me on the show, as always, is the lovely Alex Heberling. Alex, are you wearing a hat right now?
I could be.
I could hear that you weren't, and it was bothering me.
Now I am.
There we go.
It's awkwardly perched on top of my headphones.
That's perfect. Oh, man. Alex, how are your holidays?
They're pretty good. I actually just got a new car on Friday, so life's
hooray!
After my horrible 2 months of taking the bus to work.
Yeah, and how's alexesguide.net treating you?
It's treating me very well. It puts up comics every Monday and Friday for me.
Perfect. Also this is on the food today, is the one and only Dante Shepherd of Surviving the World, which can be found at survivingtheworld.net. Hey, Dante, how you doing?
Hello. I am broadcasting from inside a thunderstorm, so if it sounds like I'm being attacked, I might be.
So this is actually going to be our first ever newscast with live on-reporting coverage from a thunderstorm.
I'm trying.
It's the weather report.
We can just turn it over to you, and you can be like, hi, Ross in the studio. Yeah.
Give me a terrible green screen. It'd be fantastic.
There's some foam. We don't know what it is exactly, but tastes horrible. That actually happened. Yeah, awesome. So... survivingtheworld.net is, do you want to give like a quick two sentences?
Sure. It's a daily photo comic, which is basically set inside a classroom. So everyone who reads it is a student, is part of the class, and it's, more or less humorous and with a mix of seriousness and education, and it, I don't know, it's pretty darn hilarious.
I would agree that it's pretty darn hilarious. The latest one on interpretive dance was
pretty good. Yes.
Now, quick question for you. You do 5 days a week or is it 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
7 days a week, you fiend.
Yeah, and that's not my main job either. So there's a lot of days when I'm not exactly getting enough sleep.
Sure, definitely. But you have a blackboard. I mean, what do you do when you're in a place without a blackboard? Or do you just take blackboards with you wherever you go now?
I try to load up before ever I go anywhere. So some days it's you know, you're trying to produce like seven in a night, just you're set for the next week.
Yeah, well, when you're producing seven a night, do you ever feel like, well, this isn't the best one, but I need one for Tuesday?
Well, actually, that's kind of where the interpretive dance one came. It was like, oh, maybe I can just start posing in completely ridiculous positions. And when I did that, I kind of came up with a joke to pull it all together. You know, but, I mean, that probably happens to a lot of people. You just think of different positions and then try to come up with some kind of punchline to hope it makes sense.
Like date night. Let's move on to our actual news for the week. So every week here on the Webcomic Beacon newscast, we ask you, the readers, to send us any stories that are happening that are affecting the webcomics world as we see it, and we try and compile our own. Normally, our own Draumos, Eric, puts together some. I know there was a list this week, but it was actually partially held over from last week, so we got to give him credit where credit's due. Thanks to Eric. You can find his stuff at exiern.com. Yes, .com.
Yep.
And you can see what he's up to. So thanks to him. If you have any stories that you ever want to send us, you can send them on over to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, I think. To tell you the truth, I don't have my notes in front of me, and I'm doing this from memory.
Let's assume it's correct.
Let's just assume it's correct, or that it will redirect, or whoever is at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com will be kind enough to forward them on to the right. just send them to me. Anyway, so we've got a lot of stories to cover this week. And the first one has to do with a comics documentary that's been in the rumblings for a while. Dave Kellett of the comic Sheldon, which can be found at sheldoncomics.com, and his cohort in crime, a guy named Fred Schroeder, have been working feverishly on a documentary about comics, and specifically the comic strips. And so the ones that show up in, you know, Sunday comics and in your newspaper, and what's happened to them over time, as well as where they're headed in the future. And then this documentary they've been working on for so long, featuring a lot of webcomic artists as well as a lot of old greats, so to speak, has now been on Kickstarter as of, let's see if it's got 18 days to go. Math failing. It's been on Kickstarter like a week and a half. Anyway, they were trying to raise $58,000. And congratulations to them, because thanks to over 1,700 backers, they've managed to raise that money and are now able to produce the documentary they wanted. Some of the people that they interviewed for it, there are a ton. They interviewed over 60 people. And some of them, we've got some webcomic peeps that most of us will know and love. We've got Daniel Corsetto, that I know, Dante, you know pretty well. Mm-hmm. We've got Brad Geiger of Evil Inc. We've got Meredith Grant of Octopus Pie and Casey Green of Gun Show. Kate Beaton of Hark a Vagrant. People from SCAD. But also a lot of greats like Jim Davis. I'm using greats in the, you know, bigness sense. I'm not trying to make any judgments here. We also have Dr. McNinja, Dr. McNinja's Chris Hastings and Anthony Clark. I can't possibly read the whole list. People from The New Yorker, Hillary Price of Rhymes with Orange. I'm just going to stop reading names, but lots of names, lots of big names. Did you guys get a chance to watch the trailer for this?
It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's like a 3-minute trailer. It looks really dope. I mean, what sold me was kind of some of the motion graphics and animations near the beginning, but I'm not going to lie. But no, it seems really interesting. And they even got Scott McCloud to curse, which like a dream come true for me. The idea that the guy who wrote Understanding Comics and is like, isn't comics great? Is being like, oh, I don't know what the shit's going on. That is a brilliant concept. But it's great. I'm excited to see kind of where it goes. Little offended they didn't call me, but you know, what are you gonna do?
I think the person that I'm actually most interested in hearing from and all that is and he's not in the trailer, but he's on that whole giant list of people there, is from Savannah College of Art and Design, is Michael Jancy, who did The Norm, which is a newspaper. So it probably wasn't in every newspaper, but it might have been in some. Mm-hmm. He was a really pretty big influence on the creative work that I'm doing now.
Oh, nice.
Because it was a lot of the character directly addressing and breaking the fourth wall and talking directly to the people. You know, and then cutting back to the actual storyline or whatever. And he ran it in newspapers, and then he decided to take it online, and he actually put it behind a paywall for about 2 years before he stopped running it. So I'd be really interested to see what his perspective is, because he's kind of been in both those worlds.
Sure.
Both newspaper and webcomics, and I don't know, paywall is probably what he had to do there initially, and hopefully that wasn't the reason why it stopped running. But
right. They've got a lot of interesting people in here, which seems pretty cool. And then they've said, because obviously the Kickstarter is still going, and Kickstarter is allowed by its nature to raise extra money, and they're still accepting extra money. And they said if we raise a lot of extra money, then and they didn't give an exact amount. I don't think they know an exact amount yet. But if they raise a lot of extra money, they're going to take all the interviews they did and put them all online in full. which I think is a great idea. Right now, they're at 72,000 of 58,000 of their original goal. So obviously, there's going to be the documentary, and it's going to get made. But it looks like, you know, we might be able to see all these interviews in even way more depth, which could be really cool.
I have a totally nerdy story about this documentary as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Which I wanted to share. Well, Dave Kellett was at the Festival of Cartoon Art last October, which is here in Columbus, where I am. And I also went. So I got to meet him at one of the many mixers that we had over that whole festival. And one of the days during a break for lunch, I was walking out of the Wexner Center, and Dave and I think it was...
Fred
with him, were walking kind of towards me, going past me, and they're like, "Hey, Alex, you went to school here, right?" And they were looking for somewhere to film some interviews for this very documentary, specifically Dan Peraro. So I managed to find one of the lecture halls that I'd had a class in that was unlocked, even though it was a Saturday. And so I took them in there, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, this is perfect! Thank you so much and stuff." So, I dipped my pinky finger into this documentary, guys.
That sounds hot.
Oh, yeah,
that's awesome.
So the lecture hall behind Dan Peraro in that screen cap down there, I had a class in there.
Nice, yeah. Awesome.
Well, and the other thing with them saying that if they raise enough money, they're going to be able to interview other people too, like Randall Monroe and so on. So if they keep on raising enough money, I mean, hey, Ross, you might finally get that invite that you were hoping for.
Here's hoping. I think it's great to see that they took on this project. I actually, by the way, we have the technology now that I could actually play a clip of it and it would show up in the show. Should we do that? Does that make sense? Let's play like 10, 20 seconds here. Let's see if it works. Nope, not working. Oh, well.
Oh, technology.
Oh, technology. So we don't have the technology to do that. Or if we do, I broke it. So, but no, it's worth, totally worth checking out and a really cool idea. So we'll be keeping our eye on that here at the Webcomic Beacon. So we hope you do too. Next, we will actually shift gears. Those of us on the show, I'm going slightly out of order here. But while we're on the topic of Kickstarter, two more Kickstarters. I feel like we pretty much need a Kickstarter corner these days. My own friend. Kickstarter corner, exactly. my own friend, Dern of Hello with Cheese fame, has been trying to put together a board game using Kickstarter. And he's doing it... he's a webcomic artist himself, and his webcomic artist on Hello with Cheese is a guy named Obsidian, who's doing a lot of artwork for said board game, as well as artwork from Lar D'Souza of Least I Could Do, Jamie Noguchi of Yellow Peril, who's also been on the show, and Yuko Ota of Johnny Wander. And thanks to the support of lots of people, it is now going to be a board game. So he's using his fan base from... comics, and now using it for another independent project, which I think there's a lot of overlap between people who like cool board games and people who like web comics. So a quick shout out to him. Nice job. Congrats, props. And it's still going. It's got 49 hours to go. So if you want a chance to check it out, please do. Also, one more Kickstarter while we're on the topic. Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, we mentioned a couple weeks ago. They have been doing a live action show called SNBC Theater. They were trying to raise money to make that happen. It has now been funded 5 times over. Congrats to them. And that is our Kickstarter corner. Hooray. Whew. Man, Kickstarter. Crazy. All right. With that, we'll move on to other articles that have nothing to do with Kickstarter. This one comes to us from Google Plus. Over on Google Plus, Spike, the creator of Templar Arizona and currently working on our own Kickstarter called Poorcraft, which is also already done being funded, says about, quote, "Hey guys, real quick, refusing to include cultures, ethnicities, and lifestyles you don't have any personal experience in, with in your fiction, or fear that you, quote, might offend someone or, quote, get it wrong, is a coward ass move. Just want to get that out there. What annoys, offends and annoys is types casting, quota filling and stereotyping, not inclusion, being inclusive and characterizing minority character players in your fiction as individuals rather than grotesque cartoon generalizations is actually a good thing. You are by and large not morons. There isn't anything mysterious about how you as a writer could theoretically make a black character, a lesbian character, or a Puerto Rican character offensive. So don't do it. And there are no secret landmines waiting for you if you exercise just as much care in building characters that look, think, and behave nothing like you as you do characters that could pass for close relatives. Really, I promise. Edit to add, don't pull that Doug bullshit and call it diversity either. You know what I mean. Those purple, green, orange, and pink people do not count as a, quote, diverse cast. I shouldn't have to point that out. Wow. Picking on Doug. Bold moves. So this Spike obviously writes about a lot of variety of characters. Do you guys read Templar Arizona?
I tried to
From time
it.
To time.
Yeah, I look at it and awe at the artwork. But
I tried to read it.
I
found it incredibly hard to follow.
There's a lot going on. I think it works great in print editions where it's all collected.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting comic. Anyway, this was kind of a line drawn in the sand for Spike, and it's sparked a lot of commentary back and forth and conversation about writing what you don't know, because that's pretty much what she's asking you to do, is just because you aren't black doesn't mean you can't write a black character. Now, Dante, you write exactly what you know because you're teaching from your own experience. And I have all my characters are black, so I can't talk. But Alex, I know you've written stories with lots of different racial characters and things. So do you have any insight on the topic?
Well, it's just like she says, it's what's offensive is stereotyping and tokenization and stuff like that. And
so do you
have to write an individual, not a token.
Do you think you're better off putting in diversity for the sake of diversity?
I feel like that phrase is sort of a misleading one because it sort of assumes that sort of antiseptic PC thing that a lot of people have problems with.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity is not a bad thing. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, actually, because I have actually decided on a new long-form comic project that I'm going to do, which I'm going to keep fairly secret for now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to have a multicultural, lots of different sort of body types and all sorts of that kind of stuff in it. And also, I drew human versions of the My Little Ponies, and I made one Indian, and everybody freaked out.
How does it freak out exactly? Are they just like, oh, snap, it's Indian? I mean,
pretty much. They're like, why did you draw Twilight black? And that kind of thing. So, yeah, I've been thinking about this kind of stuff a lot lately, and it just kind of makes me stabby.
Yeah. Well, I think on the other side, you have kind of the Burger King Kids Club model, if you will, which is one of everything, you know, the Captain Planet and the stock mm-hmm. photo, you know, where it's like, well, if we put in one of everything, then it's not racist because we've included everybody. But I don't know if that really helps, you know. I mean, for some stories, I don't know. I mean, basically she's saying, you know, tell more diverse stories, really, right? And that. And then your characters will follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you also run into the problem that, you know, if you are clearly coming from an outside perspective, sometimes people, not to completely go against this here, because I do think it's important, you know, to make sure that you're actually representing, you know, true ideas and then more of the real world. But, you know, I mean, even when you sometimes touch on a different subject like race or something like that, you know, if you're just creating these characters, you know, for them to be characters, that's great. But if you're doing it just to, for the purpose of race, I mean, that can bring up issues too. I mean, I just did a comic this past week where I briefly touched on racism in science and all that. And, you know, for the most part, it was well received. But, you know, one person, of course, called me out about even to bring it up, of course, I was it was white privilege,
right?
Which is, you know, unfortunate. So it's and you know, it, along the same lines, when I do religious comics, you know, I sometimes people will say, well, this is because you're an atheist. I mean, I'm not an atheist, but it's just the people tend to think, well,
right,
presenting something and that's not what you're writing from, then you must be doing it from a reason. So it's you've got to really make sure that, you know, what are your motives for doing this, and are you, you know, doing this as well as you should?
Okay, so now's when I put on the hat of Dennis the Devil's Advocate. I've named him. So Dennis would say, he talks in a silly voice. I'm not going to do the silly voice, but Dennis would say, you know, we in webcomics are allowed to be as niche as we want, right? That's the fun and joy of webcomics, is that we get to be totally independent and say, oh, well, I just want to speak to other people that have the same job as me in the same town as me, and that's all I'm speaking to as an audience. So why do I, in that case, have to care about fitting in things that I don't actually experience? That's not what I want to do. That's not the story I want to tell or the audience I want to have. Oh, snap.
It's fine. I think it's fine if you want to make that decision, but, you know, you got to let everybody make their own choices.
All right. By the way, Danny the Devil's Advocate will show up in a comic this week.
I thought he was Dennis. Yeah. Man.
Oh, Dennis.
I guess he goes by many names if he is the devil.
He goes by many names. Yes. Anyway, the link to that article that we have been discussing will be included in the newscast post along with this podcast. So if you are looking for this or any of the articles we're talking about, you can follow along there. All right. That brings us over to a quick one on Feedburner. Here is a quick article on from soldoutactivist.com, which tells you how to make your Feedburner feed, in other words, your RSS feed, actually have included in it a link that will automatically let people share things on Twitter or Facebook or Dig or things like that. So it's actually included in the RSS feed, and therefore people can use that to more quickly share it if they're using just an RSS reader or however they receive your comic. I don't think there's really much to discuss except that it's cool. But
in other news, people still use Dig.
That's what I thought the obvious joke was.
Do you remember like 3 years ago when Dig was huge and Reddit was like, oh, I think I've heard of Reddit?
Oh, yeah. I had a Dig Nation t-shirt.
Oh, you were one of those. Man, I've been going to South by Southwest the last 3 years. And 3 years ago, the Dig Nation party was the biggest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And this past year, it was like, oh, Dig's here? Oh, okay.
Good for them.
It's...
What are you doing, Dig website?
Zing. Okay, that was good.
He's trying to connect me to something.
Okay, that brings us over to an article from the BBC. Yet another time where mainstream news tries to cover comics, and I just love the tone they always take, because it's like, these crazy comics people, they're up to something.
It's just horrible.
Yeah, it's always how it comes off, but... this article on the bbc.co.uk is all about the comics industry of the West trying to work its way into the comics market of the East in places like Taiwan and Hong Kong and the Philippines and Thailand and China and places where, you know, they currently aren't so popular, where manga and things like that are much more popular. And yeah. So they're trying to work in more diversity. There's diversity again, in order to do that. And good for them. You guys have anything you want to comment on this article? I'll be totally honest. I don't know if there's much we have to discuss, but
I wish them luck, because the Asian comics market is so filled with their own stuff.
So true.
I find it kind of funny anyway, trying to get American comics into the Asian market while manga doesn't always get so well received back here in the States.
So true.
So.
By the way, this article came to us from Samantha Kyle. So thank you to Samantha for sending it over. Samantha was on the show a few weeks ago. So Thanks to her for sending it over. All right. That brings us over to the Hugo and Harvey Awards. So the Hugo and Harvey Awards were in the last couple weeks. The Ignatz Awards is coming up at SPX. Is that next weekend? Oh, man. I could have got my blue tux dry cleaned. Yeah, speaking of which, Alex, are you going to be at the SPX?
No, I won't, actually.
Oh, no. But Dante, you said you were going to be there, right?
It'll be my first time exhibiting as for awesome. Webcomics, as opposed to exhibiting like with a trench coat.
Yeah, I'll be exhibiting only so much as I'll walk up to tables and be like, yo, dog, I hear you like comics, so I put comics in your comics so you can comic while you're comicking. That would be so
funny. No, Ross. Sorry, no.
No, truthfully, though, Super Art Fight will be there and performing as part of the Ignatz Awards. So be sure to, anyone listening to this that'll be in the area, come to that and look for a blue tux and say peanut butter and jelly, and I will give you a cookie.
I'll have Surviving the World pint glasses and lab coats, just as a quick plug.
I thought the lab coat only comes with a doctorate.
Well, these aren't real lab coats then, I guess, in that idea. Or maybe it's a fake doctorate of some kind from an online university.
You can print them up on like little tear sheets and
thanks, University of Phoenix.
Tear one off and was that? Hand it to them with a lab coat.
There you go. Where do you
They have their own football stadium, man. Don't knock the University of Phoenix.
Really? Is it online?
Well, they have Arizona Cardinals NFL football stadium is actually the University of Phoenix stadium.
Oh, wow.
So they actually have an NFL stadium, which is.
All right. Well, so the Harvey Awards and the Hugo Awards, Girl Genius has won the Hugo Award for best graphic story for this year with Girl Genius Volume 10, which is the third year in a row for it to have been included and win. Volumes 8 and 9 of Girl Genius winning the last 2 years. Also, Sean Tan of The Arrival and The Lost Thing won for Best Artist, which was kind of cool. Do you guys read Girl Genius, just out of curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to get into it, no.
I've met the Folios at enough cons. They're super cool people. And I always look at it and I'm like, oh, I should read this. I never have.
Well, there's 30,000 webcomics. It's pretty hard to read them all.
I know, but I keep trying.
Another thing to add onto this story is that the Folios are announced in the comic where they accepted the award that they're going to take themselves out of consideration for the next 2 years, I think, in order for the category to not grow stagnant. And
I don't know if that's super classy or super cocky. It's kind of...
Well, they've won 3 years in a row, so.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, oh, yeah, we're sorry we keep winning it. We're sorry we're so awesome. I'm so sorry. No, that's super classy.
I think that's impossible for the Folios to be gone.
I know.
Plebeians.
I know.
I guess we'll let you win this year.
If it was anyone else, I would wonder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's the Folios.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we're also the Harvey Awards real quick. Couple highlights. Best online comics work goes to Kate Beaton of Hark a Vagrant, which I love it, but I gotta say, like, it's awesome, but best online comic out of all the online comics out there, I'm kind of curious what, like, their rationale was. I love it, don't get me wrong, but, like, there's so many. How do you choose that? Like, are there criteria? I don't know. But
we're probably looking for strong female characters.
Yes, probably.
I mean, again, there's 30,000. What?
Right.
I'm sorry. That's a low amount. So it's kind of hard to read them all. But I mean, you know, Kate Beaton's work. I mean, yeah, I'm a big proponent, as you and Ross know, of being able to work anything educational or you know, innovative into the work that you do. And I mean, she presents these obscure history characters sometimes and or people who shouldn't be obscure. And it just drives you to find out more about them and really widen your perspective. So I mean, I think that the work that she does just expands so much more just beyond her comic.
Yeah.
So,
hey, I told everyone about how Gil Sands was a pedophile like a week ago. That was my way of giving back. And Kate Beaton, I sent it to Kate Beaton actually, and she did not respond.
But no, she'll be at SPX. I'm looking.
I'll
meeting her.
I'm looking forward to saying hi to her as well. That sounds creepy. Sorry. anyway, one other thing while we're on Harvey Awards, if you haven't seen the comic Black Sad, it won for Best American Edition of Foreign Material, which is kind of an obscure award, I guess. But if you haven't read Black Sad, it's not even a webcomic, but I don't care. It's that good. Check it out. Yes. And with that, we should take a quick break. So we're going to take a moment to let our sponsors have a word, if you will, and we will come right back. Say goodbye, Alex.
Goodbye, Alex.
Thank you.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
I guess we're not going to cover, like, what, the DC reboot? Or you guys must have already covered that recently.
It's been covered a lot. I mean,
that's what I would guess.
We've talked about it so much in the last few
years. Honestly, that's kind of what I figured, I think.
The first of them are starting to come out. I know my friend Marty, Blasterama.com, he's going to review every single first issue.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I've got news for you. This month, actually, I'm going to be reviewing all 52 DC comic reboots. With Melissa Kircher of Tin Lizard Productions and also Marcus Almond of TheRazorKid.DeviantArt.com. We're going to be hopefully doing it as a video where we're basically going to only look at, you know, if it goes beyond the 52, it'd be looking at other first issues of other comics, so it could include retro reviews. And it's to see whether or not the comic succeeds in selling the reader to keep buying the next issues.
Nice.
And since I don't read comic books, I've read two comic books in my life, I'm a little bit more trial by fire here than them. They're both like, Melissa's worked in the industry, and Marcus is a big comic collector, so it'll be fun. It'll be a new program for the Webcast Beacon Network called First Issue.
Oh, cool. By the way, while we're talking about new things, I'm starting a new podcast. This is not me announcing it, but I just want to tell you guys because it's really funny.
Are you breaking up with us?
No, I'm still going to do this one.
He's whoring himself out some more.
It's a quick one. It's going to be like a 10 or 15 minute podcast, and it's called Bullshit University. The entire point of the podcast is to teach people things that are completely untrue. And it's going to be me and a friend of mine or special guests.
I think Tanya would want to be in on that with you sometimes if you're looking for a guest.
Just bullshitting at each other. Like everything, the rule is once the bell rings, everything you say has to be false.
And then
we just ask each other questions back and forth. So it's like, so who invented the monocle? And then you have to give a completely made up story of who invented it and why. And then, you know,
that was Horace Monocle. That's easy.
Yeah, right. And so, but why did he create it? You know, and we just go back and forth. It just seemed like a fun, funny, creative thing to do. So,
is this already being set up somewhere, or do you need a spot?
I've got it setting up somewhere. Okay. Sorry.
You bastard.
Well, yeah, it seems like it'll be a lot of fun. So stay tuned for that because it's finally coming together. Okay, so let's get back into it, shall we? Yes? Okay. Here we go. Welcome back, one and all, to the Webcomic Beacon newscast. I know it's been ages since we've talked to you 2 minutes ago, or however long it's been since the break, but for us, 5 years have passed, and we've grown smarter and wiser and older and slightly fatter. But we're back now, and we want to tell you all about this next story. That was way too long of a transition. Sorry. We have news that a new webcomic collective has formed. The webcomic collective is called Open Fire. Their work can be found at openfirecomics.com. And we found this news via Comics Talk. And they seem like a fun group. We've got some comics that we've talked about in the past as part of it. We have Walking the Leaf, a comic called The End, one called Sweet and Sour Grapes, one called Underling, Inscribing Artie, and Jimmy and the Hammer, which is a funky, fresh action romp wherein a monkey and a firefighter team up and catch bad guys. Like you do. Anyway, they have a new site.
Jimmy and the Hammer.
I know, they need a theme song with a lot of this on the guitar. Wicked-o, 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 boo. Doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. Anyway,
that's a little different from Elton John.
Yeah, their main site has a lot of already kind of interesting advice and things. By the way, the site actually started up August 13th, so they're pretty new as far as a collective goes, but all the comics have been around for a bit. But they're already posting a lot of interesting posts on their main page. We have webcomic pet peeves, the first being spoiler-sized RSS thumbnails. We've got spoilers on the homepage. We've got one about depicting race, which actually kind of plays into what we were talking about before, since the comic Sweet and Sour Grapes is written by a white girl who is not any of the races she depicts in the comic. And then we have one on making comics anywhere and another on creating a creative process that might work better for you.
Cool. Yeah, I'm really digging the blog entries.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. So you can find all over that over at openfirecomics.com. Next up, we have word, some fortunate news that Kiss Comics, comics spelled with an X, of course, which is a popular erotic Spanish comic that has been around for 20 years, has fallen by the wayside and unfortunately is no longer going to be produced, citing piracy and illegal scans as the reason why. Honestly, I think that's kind of a cop-out. What do you guys think?
I think every comic is now being scanned and being torrented. I know that you can look up like on torrent lists and you can see like XKCD on there, which is free. And there'd be absolutely no reason for you to download the torrent. So
exactly.
I mean, if it's hitting absolutely everyone, then figure out another solution, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, this is kind of like the rule 37. I don't know what actual rule number it would be, but it's like if it exists, it's ripped onto the and pirated on the internet at this point. I think we can pretty much agree. I mean, maybe the business model just didn't have a chance to really evolve with the comic, it sounds like. But I did look it up and did some research, and it is a pretty cool comic. So for those interested, check out Kiss Comics and their back collection, but maybe don't pirate it. Next we have an article on the invention of Spider-Man published in 1977. There's an article called How I Invented Spider-Man by Stan Lee.
Everybody, Stan Lee's on the podcast right now.
That's right, true believers.
Enough said.
Excelsior. So that's
really good, Ross.
So back in the day, by the way, you should click on this article whether or not you care about reading the whole thing, simply to see a 1977 photo of Stan Lee with his shirt mostly unbuttoned and a way better stash than he has now.
Rawr.
Oh, yeah. That man is a beast.
It's a fantastic article, too.
It is a fantastic article. Now, what's interesting about it is that in recent years, there's been some controversy about Stan Lee taking a lot of credit for a lot of things that, you know, some others have come out and said, oh, I don't know if that was really Stan's doing and things like that. And this was him in 1977 saying, yes, I totally did all of those things, which was kind of fun to read. Also, he talks about kind of the thought process that went into creating Spider-Man as a character, who was the first of the kind of new weaker superheroes, if you will, the ones with flaws and more interesting. Or as he puts it, just because you have the strength to lift King Kong doesn't mean you don't have acne and are awkward or what, something like that. Oh, here it is. Doesn't mean you still don't worry about dandruff or acne. That's the quote. which actually a pretty cool read. Do you guys get any insights from this article?
Well, if I could just jump in, what I really loved was at one point he's kind of quoting some of the voices that are a lot of the statements that kept coming to him when he started creating comics that he enjoyed. It wasn't just for kids, you know, and it's a lot of the same comments that you hear people who are too used to newspaper comics, you know, what they've said about webcomics, like you can't produce comic books to suit your own taste. You'll lose your entire audience. Are you out of your mind? Comics are for kids, for little kids. Don't ruin what we've got going here. Don't be a jerk and mess up a good thing. You know, it just feels like it's some of the same criticisms that you know, could have stopped him from producing Spider-Man are a lot of the same criticisms that are continuing to go on today. It's kind of funny that never
sunrise,
died down.
Sunset.
Yeah, and this is way before he started calling himself Generalissimo. Just really funny.
I think the thunderstorm just reached me.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Dante, where are you, like, geographically right now?
Right now I'm in Pennsylvania.
In where? Sorry?
In Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Well, then...
Oh, then I guess I probably have a different thunderstorm.
Yeah, there is.
They're all over the place.
It's sunny here in D.C., I'd just like to point out.
Yeah, well, I hope the hurricane coming up the coast just, you know, curves off and doesn't have to ruin SPX next weekend.
Yeah, let's fingers crossed on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex, any commentary on the article?
No, not really. Stan Lee really loves talking about himself.
I love yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
How about this? This bit near the end. All our Vietnams, Kent States, and Watergates have taken their toll. It's not that we don't want heroes. It's not that we don't search for someone to emulate, to admire, to idolize. But until the shockwaves of our recent past have worn off, we are and we're finally ready to believe once again, our heroes will have to be fashioned of a different mold. They'll be flaky, fallible, and fault-ridden. They'll be no better or worse than we ourselves. We've endured too much. We won't let ourselves be hurt anymore. Ooh, what a great concept that, oh, well, we've been through so much lately that we need people that are as flawed as we feel these days. And this was in 77, and if anything, characters have just gotten more flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to see how that, you know, kind of has continued through. So anyway, this article is over at kirbymuseum.org, and you should go check it out. You can follow the link over at the Webcomic Beacon Newscast site, which is newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. No, I screwed that up, didn't I? Newscast. I should... really have done this before. Yeah, it is newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. I knew it. Silly notes. Now we have an article over from The Guardian. It seems that children read more websites than comics these days. A recent poll
Shocking.
Of over 18,000 children shows that they read more websites than they do comics. 7% had never been to a library. Some have never been given a book as a gift, and all of them are just feeling unloved, apparently. Do you guys think this is a problem for the future of comics, that more kids aren't reading comics? I in this case, they are meaning print comics. Or is this just the nature of our general audience changing over time?
Yeah, I think it's just sort of the generational divide happening because, you know, really? Kids these days don't remember the days before the internet.
Yeah, and they've never, you know, they talk about the percentage that have never been to a bookstore, and it's like, well, that's fine. I don't go to bookstores
anymore. That makes me sad because, you know, kids should go to libraries and stuff like that and read real books too, but I'm not.
If you go to libraries, you can get comic books in trade paperback sometime, and you can get them for free there. For short time use, and you won't have to download and pirate them.
Very true. And you get to support your local library. So it's a winner either way.
And you get to meet the really weird people there who are in there just for the internet because they don't have it at home.
Yeah. By the way, Dante, this article brought to us by Jessica Shepherd, the education correspondent for.
Oh, that's my cousin. Absolutely.
Yeah, clearly.
British cousin? Is that right?
Sure, why not?
It's from The Guardian. So.
Yeah. That brings us over to... Ah, yes. A new website called mydigitalcomics.com, which now features completely do-what-you-want-with PDFs of comics for sale, and even those from major studios, including Top Cow, Image, Boom, Dynamite Entertainment, Devil's Due, and looks like about 70 or so total. That's a complete estimate. But yeah, instead of your normal Comixology app issues that we've talked about in the past, this site is trying digital distribution with just PDFs, which is kind of good to see. Ooh, ominous.
Oh, jeez.
That's what, me this
dark
time.
And stormy podcast.
It was a dark and stormy podcast as they turned to PDFs. So we've talked a lot about digital distribution. Dante, have you ever considered digital distribution of PDFs of your book type material?
I don't know. At some point, it becomes a little awkward sending out giant amounts of photos of yourself for other people to enjoy and do things with. So
I can see that.
Well, you've also chosen to create lots of photos of yourself. I thought you.
Yeah, but that's not by personal choice. If I could have someone else in the photo instead of me, I gladly would. So.
All right. Well, I know that I'll be going here for future issues of Ninja Cowboy Viking. Issues 1 through 10, which are all available. On, I actually think that's a really fun comic. But they have a lot on the site. It's cool to see a new model coming out. It'll be interesting to see how this company does versus some of the other digital distribution we've talked about in the past.
They've got a 28 Days Later series.
Oh, yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Like over 30 issues, too.
Cool. Okay, well, on to our next article. A quick one. Have you guys ever read Dean Tripp's work? Dean Trippy? He helps write... he helps work on... Yeah, this one got added to the post pretty late. But he helps run a site about costume redesigns that I can't remember the name of. But he also has been working on Butterfly for forever. Butterfly's been on hiatus for... about 2 years as he works on other projects, and he's just finally brought it back. And as you can see from the homepage, it's beautiful.
Mm, and very pretty.
Pretty looking. Yeah. Butterfly.
It says here it was a part of the Daily Grind Iron Man Challenge.
Yeah, way back in the day. Which is when I first found it, actually. I've been following it for a while. Yeah, and it's really interesting because it's been 2 years since he's drawn this thing, and his artwork's come so far from then that you can really see him kind of growing as an artist. Also, Butterfly's a great comic about a kid who wants to be a superhero and the friends that he makes along the way. So it's worth checking out. Right, with that, we'll go on over to another quick one. Chris Straub of many projects has a new one as well. It's called Humor Authority. It can be found at humorauthority.chrisstraub.com. And the idea of it is to discuss with other humorists, not just comic artists, how they come up with their ideas for humor and where their humor comes from. So kind of a thoughty podcast. And their first episode went up recently on August 20th, and it is Ethan Nicole of Axe Cop fame. And even from the start, they try and take a new approach. They start the show by saying, oh, I'm sure you've been at, like, let's skip all of the questions you're normally asked, which I think is a great way to get started. All the normal, oh, well, what's it like writing it and all that kind of stuff. And they try and get really into what's going on behind the humor and what kind of humor they like to do. So really great to see this one go up. And there's no word yet on when new episodes will be launching, but looks to be a pretty cool thing. Have you guys heard about this one at all?
No, I hadn't, but I'm very interested to listen to it because they did an episode kind of like this on Webcomics Weekly, like way back in the day when they were first started the podcast on basically where do you get your ideas from? And it sounds like it's sort of the same, you know, sort of thought process.
Yeah, it's in the same vein. It's the idea of breaking down kind of the processes and what's going on behind the scenes of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see how that works. And I know we three here are three people that have very different places for things. I mean,
yeah. I really want to put more chalkboard humor in my comic after reading your comic for the last 3 hours.
I got to say, I had so much fun putting together that guest comic for you. I did one about fruit flies and, oh, that was great. Someone actually sent in a solution.
Oh, I've received actually a ton of solutions. I just haven't forwarded them all on to you in the past week.
Thanks, I guess. I actually looked in your forums to see if there was like a place for discussion or anything. And I didn't see one.
Oh, my forums are kind of a place where people go to die, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what all my forum attempts were too.
No, I've discovered that the best way to get rid of fruit flies is to leave out an alcoholic beverage with some, but dilute it with water and then put in some soap. Well, you put in the soap first and then the water, and that way the water kind of bubbles up with the soap and you leave that out because it turns out all fruit flies are actually bar flies.
Hey-o.
It's true, though. Totally works.
Well, it's, you know. Slug cousins in that case, right? If you just leave like a dish of beer out in your garden, it'll kill all the slugs.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's fascinating and disgusting at the same time, leaving it out there and finding like a plate full of 10 slugs.
Ooh. Wow. Awesome. All right, well, we have one last thing to quickly talk about.
While we finish up the slug.
Speaking of slugs, Mayberry Melon Pool is the second comic I ever read online. It can be found at melonpool.com, and it has just gone back to updating on Sundays. It has been not updating for quite a while, but has been on the internet since forever and a half. And we found this news via Fleen, but if you want a chance, go check it out. The entire archive is up and running. There are got to be thousands. I haven't actually done the crash course to know how many, but I know there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comics. And it's all about aliens getting stuck on Earth. And it's silly and fun. So feel free to go check that out. And with that, I think that's all of our news for the week. And I don't think I missed anything, did I? Fess has been hiding out behind the scenes. Fess, did we miss anything important?
I'm not paying attention.
All right. So I think we're good there. All right. Well, let's take a quick moment. Dante, do you have anything you want to plug while we're here?
So again, I do Surviving the World, which is at survivingtheworld.net. I'll be at SPX in Bethesda, Maryland next weekend. So if you come out, I will have, various stuff, and you'll be able to touch my blackboard, which has healing powers. So there's always that aspect. But otherwise, yeah, if any college out there is looking for a chemical engineering professor, I'm going to be putting out my application pretty soon. So
nice. Yeah. Speaking of which, if you ever want to come and give a lecture at a local university, just let me know.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe we can talk about that next
week. Yeah, we should totally figure that out. I can put on a lab coat, too. Actually, no, I've got my tweed jacket that I'll put on.
Does it have elbow patches?
It doesn't. And here's why. You have to earn the elbow patches.
Oh.
You do not.
No, you totally do. It's a badge of honor. You got to earn them. You have to wear down your elbows enough that you need the patches. This is my thought.
I saw a tweed jacket at Target with elbow patches on it.
Yeah, that's from Target. They also sell pre-ripped jeans. That doesn't mean that it's right. Also, how much was it at Target? Because I could use a second
one. Well, I've actually got some leftover elbow patches from my leather jacket with tweed elbow patches.
Well, now here's a question. Have you ever thought of putting elbow patches on your lab coat Because think, that would make you the classiest scientist slash doctor slash whatever. Professor.
But I mean, what do you think this is, an action? lab coat an action? I mean, because that's the only reason I think you really need elbow patches.
I mean,
is to, is to protect yourself when all of a sudden you're in an educational fight.
Oh, I
guess you fall on your elbows
all the time. Alex, do you have anything you want to promote while we're here?
Well, I will be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo on September 17th. It's a little one-day con.
Is that the full name, the CCE? Is that what it's known as?
Or I don't know. I've never been there before.
Oh, neat.
The website is CincinnatiComicExpo.com. If you want to check it out, there's lots of other local and more famous-y creators going.
Cool.
So, should be fun.
All right. And for those looking for me, you can find me at SPX. I will be, as I mentioned, performing as part of the Ignatz Awards with Super Art Fight. I won't have a table, but I'll probably be hanging out at the Yellow Peril table with my good friend Jamie Noguchi, former Webcomic Beacon newscast host. And you can find out more about all that at spexpo.com. And I guess that's it for the week, guys. So quick housekeeping things real quick here. You can find everything we've talked about and more over at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com. You can also leave us a message on our voicemail, and no one's done that yet, so I highly suggest you do it, over at 1-320-310-0922, as well as sending us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. I want to thank everyone who makes this show happen every week. Thanks to Fess. Thanks to Eric and at EXIERN.com. Thanks to Alex. Thanks to Dante. And thanks to myself. Why not? And thank you all so much for tuning in. We hope you tune in next week. We will see you soon. In the meantime, as always, peanut butter and jelly, everyone. See you around.